It's going. I don't know if it'll catch you way over there. I wonder if I should. Yeah, let's put it in the middle.
All right, I will call the Thursday, November 14th meeting of the Marquette Planning Commission. Order is 7:02. Let's do roll call. I have Chair Ann, Vice Chair, acting as Chair tonight, Scott Reaver.
Commissioner Bilvers.
Commissioner Miller.
Commissioner McFarland.
Commissioner Carson.
And we have both Commissioner Coleman and Ogle absent.
All right. Do I hear a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. Dave, would you like me to state who made the motion?
Yes, in terms of the approval of the agenda.
Or whoever makes the motion. So that was Commissioner Miller.
Commissioner Miller made the motion.
And
Commissioner McFarland seconded the motion.
Yes, so I'll say that.
Unanimously approved.
I'll say
that.
For the record.
Right.
So we'll get up.
Excellent.
In case somebody can't tell whose voice is there.
Right.
Okay. We have a third item is approval of the minutes from our last meeting, which was Thursday, October 24th. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, so that was Commissioner Bilvers.
Commissioner Bilvers moved to approve and seconded by
Commissioner Miller.
Okay.
Is there any discussion or potential proposed changes?
Correct.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay.
All right. It is now opportunity for public comment. Is there any comment from the public? No, not tonight. Okay. There are two people in the audience, but they are not coming.
So
much. Okay. We are now going to move on to the public hearing on minor amendments to NBMC 1728, boundary line adjustments. Does staff have any comments before the hearing?
Yes, it's essentially before you go into the hearing, what we've provided for you, along with the cover memo, is a red line version taking what we took you last time, and you had some suggestions for rearranging where information appeared and some things that should either be changed or be deleted. We've provided a red line copy which has underlined for the new, strikeout for the old, and we followed your recommendations as far as the content and where the information was to be located. So that's in your packet. This is for the boundary line adjustments, which is the Municipal Code Chapter 1728 that we brought to you for study last time and for public hearings.
Okay. Are there any questions of staff before we open the hearing? So I will now open the hearing on this proposed amendment to Chapter 1728, Boundary Line Adjustments. Would anybody like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing at 7:05. I guess I opened it at 7:04, close at 7:05. And I'll turn back to the commission. Let's do some discussion first, and then we can ready the motions. Any discussion or proposed amendments to what we have in front of us?
Mr. Chair, I had one question for staff on page 4. I might have asked this last time, but if so, I forgot the answer. Under 17.28.030B, we've added that property corners must be staked prior to recording. My question is, is the staking necessary for a city purpose? Is there something that we're gaining by that requirement?
You mean, is it required under state law or any other authority? Is that or
is it bringing us value? I guess is it because I'm aware that boundary line adjustments can be done and recorded simply by a meets and bounds without actually
right.
stating.
I think what it brings to us is there are a lot of times when you have DLAs, you have some sort of dispute that follows that or some sort of, you know, show me sort of the Oklahoma way and so or Missouri, whatever it is. So what we do is we want to make sure that we have evidence in the field. And for people in the future, if they're locating fencing and things like that, it's a handy thing to have.
I have no other questions.
I had two, and it ties into that same point. In your requirements, so let me get to the right page here. So 1728.015 requirements for boundary line adjustment applications. You state that item 10 is that survey, essentially, that the proposed the property corners. Is there a reason to duplicate it in that last paragraph?
The only reason we did it is that I believe you said you'd rather see it up front. And if you look at the content, I try to read this in context. And if you look at, and I probably should have done it when you made the comment, because if you look at the final approval and recording required under 1728.030, that's something we're going to go back and check.
Okay.
And it really appropriately belongs there because you're closing it out.
Sure.
But you wanted us to make it appear earlier so that people knew it would be something that I have to pay somebody to do.
Right.
So we made sure we put it in both places.
Okay.
And under 030B, that's what the property corners have to be staked. And in 015, the red pen is they just have to be shown on the map.
Okay.
So it's a preliminary. Show us on the map where property corners.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then you're going to stake them.
Yeah, they stake them in the field, but this is just to say that they have to be tied to points and references.
Okay. And then my second point or question really was just a kind of a reading question of, again, looking at 1728.015, item number one, so top of page three, I believe. Just that first sentence doesn't read quite right. Am I the only one that reads that a little weird?
I thought it was a bit clunky. I tried coming up with something different, and I thought, well, if staff felt that was clear enough for their purposes,
yeah.
I was going to just let it go rather than get into more detail on it.
Yeah, when I asked the staff if there are instances in which every one of those circumstances would have to be observed. In other words, if you took one out, do you have an example of something where it would be an inadequate direction? And Jamie did. So I said, well, leave it as it is.
It's exactly what you're saying.
It just reads wrong. I don't think the content's right.
Yeah.
It's just a clunky sentence. And,
yeah.
Well, planners are good with clunky sentences.
Yeah, that was my last item.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, because we're now requiring pre-application meeting, mm-hmm. right, pre-application meeting, that's something that the planner can go through with the applicant at that
right.
time to say, well, no, that really, we'd like that shown as a dash line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't see anything big deal. At least they're getting the idea that the property lines have to be shown differently
for
each kind of category.
Yeah, they show the before
yeah.
and after.
Yeah,
exactly. The instructions there is just the particular words and word order is a little.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
1728.015, number A. It says an applicant deposit an MOU.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see anywhere where it references what MOU means.
It's a memorandum of understanding. I mean, we could spell it out.
It should spell out somewhere. And
yeah.
Is that typical? I know there's a section in the code that it is definitional.
Yeah.
Is this, would this be an exception or two sections of the code that would typically
individually, we show it in several places in the code under definitions because anybody who turns in a land use application has to fill out an agreement to pay for staff costs,
right.
which is an MOU. So you'll probably find it elsewhere in the code
right.
if you prefer. prefer that we spell it out. That's not a problem.
I think it would be good to be spelled out, because if you're just reading this section of the code, then you don't know what that is.
Okay, I have to know.
I have one on the second page of the staff memo. This comment also applies to the next item. Item number two.
Yes.
Second line is available on the audio recording of the March 14, 2019 meeting. That should be November 14.
Yes.
And that's not vocal.
Yeah, it's not vocal. It just cut, it looks like a cut.
Yes.
That's a pretty good catch.
Where do you see that? I see November 14 on page 2.
It's in the second line.
Second line.
It's repeated.
After audio recording. And it's on both this item and the next one.
Yep.
So
okay.
For the record,
we're down below there. Yeah, I'll make sure that's correct.
Right. Any other comments? Is there a motion?
I move to approve.
Recommend.
I recommend approval.
With the changes identified.
With all the changes identified that we just made.
Moved. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Commissioner Miller seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass the unanimous. Okay, we are the next item. Okay, the next item is a public hearing on amendments to NBMC 1720 regarding finding site plans. And before I open the hearing, I'll ask staff if there are any comments.
The only ones that are similar to what I have indicated to you before, we took your comments into consideration for redrafting, providing you a red line copy. Your comments aren't incorporated. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Staff? So we'll have time if you think you want. I am now going to open at 7:14, open the public hearing on amendments to NBMC 1720, finding site plans. Are there any public comments on this item? There are no public comments on this item. So given that, the hearing is also closed at 7:15. Lots of change. So now we go to commission discussion and any further questions. Is there any comments or discussion from the commissioners? I have that same change on page 2 of the staff.
No one else? I've got two.
You have two?
Two items starting on page 7. Anybody before that? Let's see, page 7, 17.20.040 on alteration C. This is an add, the entire paragraph, and it's basically it's saying alterations that result in any substantial changes as determined by the department shall be treated as a new application, and then goes on from there. A question for staff is there an analogous requirement in the planning process? I was not familiar with that.
Well, yeah, there really is. If you propose something that is a substantial change, say for instance a number of lots or lotting configuration or lot sizes, if you propose something like that in the process of going through a big plat, and then you would either amend your application and you know what we did, like for instance, and a good example is in the tree farm. They came in with 67 lots to begin with, and by the time they got done with their storm drainage, they were down to 58 lots, and that went through two or three iterations. We had asked them, please resubmit the map and some narrative indicating that you're reproposing with a different number of lots due to the evolving circumstances. So it's more a paper trail and a record to make sure that what's approved, because sometimes you'll look back, and you've probably seen this, you'll look back through the maps, and you'll look through the record, and you'll say, well, I've got 60 lots here, and 68 here, and 58 here, what's the deal? You have the stamped approval, finally. And if you want to go back through the record and see what iteration went through and how you ended up with 58, that's how you get there.
Well, I definitely agree and understand the idea of tracking iterations. I guess what I'm driving at, it makes me a little concerned with the predictability and the certainty that a proponent is looking for, particularly being one of the most critical being vesting.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there would be items that could rise to the occasion of saying, you know, that is clearly a new plan. And now you need to make a new application. I understand that notion. But I actually, and your example would have been the example that I used. To me, the analogous of the number of lots yielded in a plat plan does not rise to the occasion of being a new application to which I would now lose my vesting and be revested, in which case laws changing all the time, I may have lost the vesting that I was counting on.
It would certainly be a fact that you would not be vested to 68 lots. You'd be vested whatever the yield was at the time that.
Well, that's a gift, but I mean, but in the planning analogy, when the preliminary is approved, that's what vests me to the number of lots. But my vesting to the code that I have to meet occurs at complete application. The implication to me by that, the statement here, is that I would lose my code vesting that I might have gained 6 months, a year.
I think the way that would work, first we have to make the determination that the change is substantial enough that it is not the same application.
Mm-hmm.
And one can appeal that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
One can deal with it. And if you make that particular determination, and I doubt that, and in my experience, the only time that I've had anybody do this is when they came in with a project and they weren't able to solve the technical issues that were necessary to get it approved.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically came in with a new project.
Sure.
And what we're looking at here is we don't want to confuse between the two projects if they're substantially different. And why would you vest somebody to something if you made the determination that it is? Say,
right.
For instance, say a good example that I could use here that I think I would make them do that under.
Right.
Because when CADView came through, it's a condominium project on Park Street. Half of it, not half, but the majority of it's on one side of Park Street, and then a smaller number of units are on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say in the course of doing this, some of the requirements for the north side of the street were a little onerous and they wanted to drop that out of the application. Then we're only talking about the south side of the street. That's substantially different, right?
Okay.
And I think that whatever we have on record should show what they're applying for, not superfluous stuff that you can't figure out what it was. I think in most cases you could probably work out the issues in their iterations through to approval, but I think it's important to at least have the ability that if they completely change the project,
mm-hmm.
or abandon it or whatever they happen to do,
mm-hmm.
that you're able to have an application for the project that they're going to process. And I think it'd probably be an extreme circumstance where we go to that degree. But the one thing I've noticed about the, not so much the BSPs, but the condominium projects, are that they are subject to a lot of regulation that causes people to redesign. For instance, when they came through in the KDU project, I said, be aware that people are going to be built individually, so they have to be metered individually in a condominium project. You're not going to have a master meter program, mm-hmm. and then sue or go against the homeowners association because somebody didn't pay their bill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those things have to be individually taken care of. So there are some things very unique to condos that they have to include in the application. And if they're not doing that, and then they say, okay, if you won't process it, I'm going to resubmit it, I'm going to do it this way. It's if it is a substantially changed project, we should at least have the ability to go back and start it again if they have to start it again. Mm-hmm.
I guess just to be sure we're solid, this went through a legal review before coming to us.
They wrote it.
Okay.
Well, if we're on the same section, I do have a question.
Yeah.
Based on the discussion we had. So under A, so I'm going to paraphrase it in my words, any alteration of a preliminary final binding site plan has to follow the same process as a new application. That's basically what that says.
Yeah.
Paragraph C says the same thing, but for substantial changes. So is paragraph C redundant?
Hmm.
If any changes, which is a broader category, requires a new application, the process required for a new application.
Yeah, I think the difference as I see it is that if you have an approval of a preliminary or final binding site plan, you have an approval, okay, it's done. You come back in and you say, hey, I want to change this. Then that is what we're looking at under A. It says of a preliminary or final. C says alterations that result in substantial changes, although you may not have an approved preliminary or final binding site plan, it may still be in the process, but that's the way I see them different, just from the language.
We might want to clarify that, because what you just said, I don't have a problem with what you just said, but that's not how I'm reading. Paragraph C doesn't distinguish between an application that's in progress and has not been approved versus an approved preliminary or final binding site plan.
Can I follow with further clarification? Did I understand you correctly? You feel that A is talking about essentially an approved preliminary or final.
Right.
And C is talking about an in-process application. Is that the way you're seeing it? Then I might suggest that C should actually be A.
Yeah.
A should actually be C. And that where and the wording that is the current A should be alteration of an approved preliminary or binding site plan. Would that make sense to you, Dave?
Yep.
Does that make everyone else follow?
Yep. And maybe under what's currently C, it could be alterations of
We need something in there that's clarifying that it's an in-process application.
Right. Dave, what might you suggest? Phrasing that you would...
I hear what you're saying, alterations, the problem. But prior to preliminary or final binding site plan approval would occur. Yeah, okay.
Is it as simple as alterations to an in-process application? Is that too clunky?
I might get this word better.
I'm sorry.
It would be alterations prior to approval of the preliminary or final binding site plan.
To approval.
It's more consistent
with
the language in A.
I see where y'all are coming from, and I'll go over that with Eileen to make sure that was her intent and that's what it says. One of the things that I think is important when you look at C as it's written now, it actually defines what kinds of changes would occur that would be substantial, so it's not just capricious, you know, it's not just whatever you happen to think. It would have to be creation of additional lots, elimination or reduction of open space, changes to conditions of approval of an approved preliminary building.
Is it only those things?
That I was just about to ask that.
big pardon?
Is it only those things, or those are examples of?
The way that reads to me, in, obviously I'm not a lawyer, but as legally I would say that that reads only those three things can quantify a substantial change.
I would say that's probably so because it doesn't have that phrase you always see, including but not limited to.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So I would say usually if you're going to go beyond that, you see that. However, if we had something in terms of substantial change that had the effect of changing what the consumer is buying in terms of open space, parking, or anything that's a part of the package that they originally were approved to provide, I would say that's a substantial change. And I think what this is more than anything a consumer protection sort of measure. And people, this was in the prior version of this that we have on the books, and it basically was talking about, you have a condominium that's been out there for 20 years, and the HOA comes in and they want to make a change to that condominium and remove some open space. Or somebody gets majority ownership in it and wants mm-hmm. to do that. Well, that's a different project. And mm-hmm. I think it's more, yes, it's record keeping, but it's more consumer protection on the part of those who are buying into the condo. Mm-hmm. If it's a duck, it's a duck, and they should get it. It shouldn't be different.
I have one thing, just that, again, looking at the structure of this, the last part of C, says, or changes to conditions of an approval of an approved preliminary binding site plan. So we're going to start C with alterations prior to approval of preliminary final binding site plan. So that's what we're saying in paragraph C applies to, but then at the end we slip in the changes to condition of an approved. So we're mixing the pre-approval and the approved.
But so, is it saying that if you change something, that would stop you from being approved? Changes to conditions of approval of an approved. So I think that still reads correctly because it's saying if you make a change that would stop you from being approved in the future, that can be considered a substantial change here.
I'm actually reading that as if you have an approved preliminary binding site plan, you want to change the conditions.
I would agree with your
final.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this doesn't say that what you're talking about, reduction of open space after an approved final.
Right.
That's not what this talks about. So I'm wondering whether the attorney's intent here was that this applies to approved final rather than pending applications.
Well, let me question them on that.
Okay.
And clarify that. And what we can do is if you want to go ahead and recommend approval with clarifications to section 1720.040 by the city attorney, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Is at the bottom of page 6, and this is all about the final binding site plan?
Yes.
The bottom of page 6, it talks about you have to do a determination of this. So for the final, you have to do a determination of consistency with the preliminary.
Right.
Which would mean if the applicant is talking about removing open space.
That would tell me that you catch it then, and what that would also tell me that if that's the case, one of the things we don't want to have people doing is either prior to recording or after recordation coming back and making changes to the condo. I think that's where the alteration language comes in. So let me talk to Eileen and make sure.
It's now making me think that entire section is talking about post-approval.
Yeah. Because you talk about changes to a building permit, changes to a site development permit. It doesn't say application. It says to the permit itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in a condo for a couple of years in Kirkland. I had that exact situation where the board of the condo wanted to remove a hot tub and other areas around the hot tub because they didn't want to maintain it anymore.
Yeah.
And that was a condition of approval.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it unless they went back and started the process over again, which they didn't want to do. But they had to keep it.
Okay, I'll clarify that, and I think you guys are probably heading to what she's going to tell me. That, because if you look at the chronology of how the information is presented, it goes through the final, the filing, review procedures, final binding site, which follows the preliminary, and the fees, and then it hits alterations as if we were through the final. You're now in alterations. Don't want to see that kind of thing happen where the consumer gets, you know, burned.
One minor thing you might want to think about is the title of that section. It just says alterations.
Yeah.
So you could add alterations to or of approved preliminary and final binding site plans. I know that you can't regulate based on the section title, but at least it will help give context
to that.
Well, it almost feels like that on the conversation that it's really should be talking about a final, not, you know,
not a
preliminary is exactly that and does get altered as you go through the process.
Yeah, the concept here was to try to use the same concept you use in mapping.
Yeah.
So that the discretionary or the conditioned portion of the project is the preliminary. And once they have that and that's approved, you can't get other bites at the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're doing is bringing in the final recorded document to meet the requirements for accreditation. And you don't want to have them changing. You want it to be consistent with the preliminary.
Right.
And once you've recorded it, you don't want them coming back and baiting and switching on parts of the project, trying to change the accreditation. But I'll discuss that with her and make sure we clarify.
Either way, however that needs to be there.
Okay.
I think we understand it. Any other comments or questions?
I have one other. And it's really just another confirmation. Dave, page 8, I think it's basically the signature blocks. It's pretty hard to even tell what the original was, but it's in C that looks to have been struck. A, B. I think the C, well, actually, first off, where the C is, another question is that intended to be struck, or is it drug the arrow too far?
It looks to me like A was struck.
In its entirety.
Yeah, so it should
okay,
be.
Okay, therefore B becomes A.
B becomes A.
All right, and then C becomes B. Okay, so then I am under B, 8, 9 area.
Yeah.
Basically the King County, and my clarification is just either Irene or you ran this by the assessor's office and that they agree, King County agrees these are the right signers.
Yeah, we actually got a comment back from the Office of Finance saying they didn't want
to be part of that process. Okay.
That they really didn't have a role in it. But what we found is that the assessor's office is much more picky about making sure that the right kind of the document is being recorded, and they've helped us catch a few things.
Yep.
And we like that, the other eyes on it.
Yeah, I've found that as well. They're excellent. Okay.
Anything else?
So, just for clarification, and maybe this will be caught, you know, later, but under B7, you know, 8's crossed out, so the next one should be 8, but it says 9. And then you've got 10 crossed out.
Any of the edits that, and she should have redlined this appropriately. I think that Jamie worked on this. But all of those should be strikeouts and underlines with the new outlining under each section designated for the new nomenclature.
So they'll catch that.
Yeah.
Okay. You are correct. It doesn't appear to be correct right now.
Yeah. City clerks generally call that a Scrivener's error.
Yes.
And I've had that happen to me before where something got messed up. And, but, as, you know, when you take the ordinance and it passes, you don't catch it. Word did something weird.
And you can actually take a Scrivener's error back to the publisher and change it without any legal action.
Right.
Because that's just a misrepresentation. It's an error,
yeah.
Not an intended change.
Okay.
But yeah, it would be nice to get it cleaned up.
We will.
Put it out close to council. Okay. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, before there's a motion, I think I want to make a statement that I'm happy, I guess, to just abstain, but I'm not comfortable voting on a final product that I'm not confident that I understand. So the section that we talked about around the alterations, because I feel that I'm not really clear of what the intent of that alteration section is. I don't feel that I know what I'm voting for. Mm-hmm. And in this, you know, to me that's something different than getting the ABC straightened out or ensuring that a wordsmithing that we did got changed. I'm comfortable with voting those things forward, but then from our conversation, I'm just not sure I know what that means.
If this is the wish of the commission, that you clarify that the alteration section should be retitled to alterations after approval of the preliminary and final BSP, thereby defining what you're approving.
I would be comfortable with that if that is indeed what we think we're doing.
It's our recommendation,
yeah.
And if the city attorney comes back and says, no, that wasn't
that's right. Not what
and
I meant.
I think it's what she intended, and so I think we're going to be okay, and if that's not the case, I'll bring it back to you.
I'm okay with that.
And so what we're suggesting is, as along the lines, Commissioner Greenberg, what you said was to add to the title under 1720 or 40 to be alterations of an approved binding site plan. Is that right?
Approved.
Preliminary or final
preliminary or final binding site plan. Although if we say preliminary,
again,
as Commissioner McFarland mentioned, that's often where there's changes made between preliminary and final. Mm-hmm.
That's what hung me the last round we went through is yeah. That this feels correct if all of these items are really talking about a final, but that's not the wording that that legal counsel has put in here, and that's why I remain confused.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could just recommend taking out the word preliminary. Section A. That's the only place it's mentioned, I believe. Mm-hmm.
And where the proposed title will change.
Right. So it would be alterations to approve final BSP. And then A would be alteration of
a final.
And approved final binding site plan shall be accomplished. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense to me because it's basically saying if there's an alteration to something that's already been final, which means it's been recorded. Maybe it should go back through mm-hmm. another review process.
Okay, so before, and I'm willing to make this motion because I think it's going to be a little more complicated, okay. But let me see if I can read this to you the way that I now believe it's reading. So it's 1720 or 040, alterations of an approved final binding site plan. What is now A becomes C and reads alterations of an approved final binding site plan, dot, dot, dot. And what is currently C is renumbered to A, obviously they flip-flop, and reads alterations. See, we're hung again, though, because the wording we had was alterations prior to approval of a pre or final binding site plan. That result.
I'm thinking what we need to do is make it all consistent, take the prior to out, change the alteration title, and under A, it should say alteration of an approved final binding site plan. Okay? Because then we're consistent with the title, right? And if you want to, I don't think at that point that it's important whether you switch A and C, because you're dealing with the final binding site plan.
Well, I think if we do, so if we stay on there, I think what you just said is we no longer need C, right? Because that was the thing that brought it up to begin with, was A and C essentially were saying the same thing.
A was broader.
I think all you're saying that's different than C is that you're giving some examples.
Well, we're defining it, So again, let me try one more time then. What is currently C becomes A, reads alterations to an approved final binding site plan, and then everything else that's there. Mm-hmm. Followed by B, and then I believe we strike all of what had been A, because it's duplicative of what we already did.
Why don't we just do that by combining A and C into one?
That's essentially what we've done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the gist of it is this is for a final binding site plan that receives some alteration. And this language should relate to it consistently, combining A and C under one paragraph, having B in there as well, and making sure that the title is clear as to the intent.
And if you combine A and C into one paragraph, I would make that the first paragraph.
Yes.
Yeah.
A. Okay. That's kind of the B is a little bit more specific.
Yeah. Okay. And if that's embedded in whatever motion you make, I'll make sure. And what I'd like to do, if you recommend it, to move up to the council with that clarification, as long as we don't run into any legal sort of thing, what I can do for you is bring this back to you in its final form just so you have the language that you approved and see it, that we did it, and we can do that here next meeting.
Is this won't go forward to council until next year, correct? Or is it going to go in December?
It can go in December.
So you're just going to bring it to us just to show us what happened?
Yeah, just so that you can
not
see.
Ready.
Just so you can have the peace of mind to know that we changed it. This is what it looks like.
Well, isn't this the last meeting for this year?
Yeah, you can email it to us.
Yeah, you can email them out to us.
Yeah.
I think we all get the council committee packets too, so we're going to be in there. So either way.
Okay.
And do I hear a motion?
Then, Mr. Chair, I move to approve NBMC 17.20 amendments as a recommendation to council, with the minor changes made, including to section 17.20.040, alterations to read alterations of an approved final binding site plan, and the consolidation of what reads in that section as clauses A and C into a new clause A, and to strike the words preliminary so that that entire paragraph reads to an approved final binding site plan.
Second.
Yeah. Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner McFarland, seconded by Commissioner Torres.
know, for the good of the order, seeing as how many of you are moving on to greener pastures, and we're going to have a recruitment going on, I want to let you know what that recruitment's all about, and what it'll take, and do we have some interested parties? We do. And we're going to try to lighten your load, which we do normally during the holiday season anyway, and not try to load a bunch of things up before we get to new boat season. So we normally don't have second meeting near falls near Thanksgiving or near Christmas. So we'll be letting you know what the meeting schedule is so that you know, and we'll probably be polling you to say, are people in town? And if it looks like we don't have a lot of items that are coming up, or if we do and we don't have a quorum, we'll let you know that those meetings will be canceled and that business will move into next year. The city clerk is going to be advertising for the three positions during the month of December. It may slop over a little bit into January to make sure people see it. And we've also had people express interest. The new mayor will be making selection, and so you'll know who those folks are. But we do have a couple of people that are interested. There was one person that was interested, a fairly close acquaintance to Trevor, wanted to be on the Economic Development Commission. I don't think those expired positions are going to be open because the people want to be reappointed. And so that particular individual is also interested in the Planning Commission. So I think we have two members that are really interested. Good, solid members of the community, good candidates. And then we'll advertise as well, and we'll try to get those brought up to the mayor for selection. We use an interview process, and then recommendation of mayor. Mayor then discusses it with the council and ends up making the selection. So I think that'll happen in January. So by late January, early February, we should be fully staffed on the Planning Commission at that point. And as happens, we have good people moving up and good people coming in. So it's really a chance to get some new, you know, voices. And since our community is changing so quickly with the population growth, I think it's a healthy thing to be able to bring new people in and have them participate in the governmental structure.
Along those lines, wanted to let you know that I will submit a resignation effective for December 31st, and that should be something expected as part of the formal process. So anyone else who happens to be on this commission not considering going into next year, I would encourage them to do likewise. You're not going to complete your term.
We're going to make your life miserable. All of us are fine. So, I'm just kidding.
It may work quite in the reverse.
I have a suggestion on process for appointing commissioners. And it might not be appropriate for this round, but in the future, in cities I've worked in, some of the most successful recruitments I've seen is where. So the cities I work in have not been strong mayor cities. They've been council manager cities, so the
right.
City council actually did the interviews. So it might be a little bit different, but some cities it was just the council basically with the city clerk in the room and that was it. Other cities it was city council or a few council members, in this case would be the mayor, with the department director and the chair of the planning commission.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is the chair of the planning commission. Too. So, just a suggestion throwing out there.
I think it's good to kind of kick that around and find out what process is best. I've worked under both administrations, and of course, with a strong mayor, you have a lot more involvement in the staffing process by the mayor. But it's really at the mayor's pleasure how he would like to format the interviews and the selection. So, it's really going to be your call as a mayor. But I think that's kind of nice because you get somebody from the commission to be involved in it, which I think is good. In the past, I and Mayor Ken have done the interviews, progress that we've made. We have really good people, and the interest is high. I think part of that is due to the fact that really proud of Bree Cavern and her community building through all these events, and we're going into the holiday season. And now that Lynn's leaving, I really am getting a feel for how involved Bree is and how much she does, because she's communicating everything to me. And I think that community building keeps people interested in where we're going and who we are. And the more we have those events, the more people feel like they're part of the community, and then they're motivated to go further. And I really think that is a unique thing that I found in this job. And in the eight other, I hate to say I'm old enough to have done that, but in eight other communities I've worked in, our departments were never as much involved in community building in that kind of esprit de corps sense as we are here. And I find it very refreshing and really a good place for community development departments to be putting their efforts. So I think it really pays off. I think that we have a lot better interpersonal relationships with the community, and I think it pulls people out of the community to get interested in participating on these boards. So kudos to her for doing that. But I'm open to whatever process you want to use, Mayor.
Yeah, thanks. No.
I want to thank both Commissioner McFarland and Commissioner Miller and in absentia Commissioner Poland for their service on the commission, some for quite a number of years and others for not quite as many years. Mm-hmm. I look forward to supporting you as you move up, as you said, to greener pastures. The grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
It's a great
Scott.
Pleasure.
If not, is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Right. Moved by Commissioner Miller. Seconded by Commissioner McFarland. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No one opposed? So we are adjourned at 7:54.
Thank you.